Welcome to another episode of
Rage Gear Studios,
the podcast.
All right, guys.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
We did it.
Oh my
gosh. We did it. We saw the Batman.
Wait. Yes. Yes, we did.
The Batman.
We're a little, what, 3 weeks late? Whatever. We saw it.
Whatever.
Yeah. Listen, no.
There's still plenty of people who are still going to see it. There's people who've seen it multiple times. There's people who haven't seen it yet. It's still in the theaters, so it's still, you know, it's still good. It's not late if it's still in the theaters.
This is true. So we're going to say if it was good or bad without giving any spoilers. What did you think?
I liked it. I think that, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer had a staple and still does on Catwoman. There's none other that compare. Like, she, her Catwoman is iconic. It's legendary. She's amazing. She's flawless. She's all the things. I will say that Zoe Kravitz is a very close second in terms of cinematic Catwoman. Because, I mean, not that there have been a ton of them, but she definitely stepped it up, and her character had agency. She had drive. She was like, it wasn't very supernatural, though she was very athletic and she did have the nails. It all just.
My God, those nails were amazing. Yeah. And she rode a bike. Did she ride a bike in the comics?
She jump roped.
Okay.
She jumped. No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Okay. She was running around skipping.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she was never on a bike. But as far as the comic goes, I don't know. I'm going to be honest and say that I don't.
You're not too familiar with that. But Zoe Kravitz was sexy as hell. I'd go straight for her. She was great.
Simadana.
I mean,
and
just her lips alone.
She was beautiful. Her lashes, her face, all of it. She was great. She was fantastic. And so was the Riddler. Won't go into detail on him because I guess that would be spoiling things. Everybody, right. Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman. The Riddler is another story. That's a whole nother. But it was a very well portrayed Riddler. It was a grim, very dangerous Riddler, because Riddler kind of comes off as a joke, or he can be easily. I just think
of Jim Carrey.
Exactly. Jim Carrey, very hokey, very colorful, very silly.
Right.
But this guy
was fear. Like, it gave, you know what? It gave me the vibes of Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, of like that fear, that anxiety, you're not knowing what's gonna happen, like what's coming next. You can't guess it. And I liked it
better than the Nolan ones. There was something about the way the cinematography was shot, all the action scenes, the car chases, all that stuff was just like so much more. I don't know.
I was in awe at the cinematography of it all. The look of Gotham City, just the architecture, the colors.
It was dark, and there was still plenty of color.
Yeah,
it didn't have the darkness of Nolan, but it was dark.
Even the scenes at the club, I was like, oh, I want to go to that industrial club.
And it was very wet. The Batman was so wet.
Rained constantly. What is that, Seattle now? But it would not stop raining.
No.
But
it's a lot of water.
You know, your influence, I was like, man, that bat suit must smell.
Oh my gosh. You can't just stop that in here. Because now people are like, what influence?
What is he talking about? Maybe he has multiple bat suits and he switches them out every night, I would hope. Mira, look what you did. You broke me.
Nobody knows how. You just keep saying these. You just keep making these complaints that aren't backed in any way. It is, people are clueless to what you're talking about.
it's the stuff I'm thinking about now.
Alfred is there. I'm sure he's taking care of things. I mean, it's a big house to clean, but I'm sure he makes time to do something.
And he has another lady helping.
I don't know. That lady's not lifting any armor laundry. But that, and he must spend a whole lot of on MAC cosmetic eyeshadow that, like,
yeah,
that black shadow has got to be expensive. It stays on. It doesn't come off with all the water.
You talk about Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Penguin, that was good.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Colin Farrell, unrecognizable. Yeah, he, wow. That was him as the Penguin. The
Commissioner, you know, Bernard is great. You know, he's he delivers no matter what the role. Like that
actor, his name is not really Bernard. You know that, right?
I know.
From Westworld.
I know his name is not Bernard from Westworld. But I don't remember right now, which is fucked up.
No, he was great. I liked him too.
I should, you know what? I'm going to Google it right now because he did a really good job. So
yes. Let's
give him proper credit. Jeffrey Wright was great.
Yes, he did.
So was Alfred.
Yeah. And Alfred was Gollum.
See?
Andy Serkis. Wait, are these spoilers?
I don't think the cast is spoiling anything. It's a Batman movie. Alfred's in it. This is who's playing Alfred.
To be expected. And, you know, I think it was cool. The focus was more based on reality, realism. It gave you that detective vibe. It was
definitely a detective movie.
Yeah. But is it safe to say it was like back to its Batman roots?
Back to the detective roots. Batman was always a detective. And not that to say that he never did any detective work. He always had something to look up in the back computers, right? He always had super gadgets and super advanced technology that helped him solve all the crimes. But this was like more like down in the field, doing it with his thought process and, you know, like showing your work on the math quiz, you know, like he did it on paper.
Yeah. Yes. It's like back to basics.
And yeah, he had a little bit of help with the tech. There was a little, but for the most part, he did a really good job doing the detective role. Robert Pattinson was good. You know, he looked great in the mask.
He did good.
So I did like it. You had a very different reaction.
So I liked it. I am very critical with movies, and I understand. And I, you know, thinking back and talking with you about it, it was good. It wasn't great, but it was good. This is the longest Batman movie in the series of all the Batmans. And I could feel it. Like, it just dragged at some parts. And even with Spider-Man No Way Home, I felt like it dragged. And it was too long and they could have been shortened. So I felt that with this. But I didn't feel that with Eternals because I guess I was so interested with the story and the characters and all that. But, you know, even with all that, this was good. Also, considering it's a DC movie, it's definitely one of the better ones.
Yeah.
So I give it a thumbs up, and you guys should go watch it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was that.
We're back. It's been a minute since we've done the comic review, so we kind of skipped the week a little bit. And so we've got four books. Two of them are Lives of Wolverine. One of them is Death of Wolverine. And the other one, there's Sabretooth.
And so, we'll knock off the Wolverine stories first.
The 10 Lives of Wolverine, which is the story where he's teleporting through time, psychically going throughout time and stopping the assassination of Xavier's relatives or ancestors or lineage so that Xavier can be born and do what he's got to do. So that's right. Omega Red has been on this mission to get rid of Xavier.
But yep. So we'll continue with issue number four.
Yeah, by issue number four, Omega Red decides he's going to stop possessing all these other bodies, all these bystanders, and go straight into just possessing Wolverine and killing Xavier via Wolverine. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't quite work out because right before in that scene, this is where the T-Max, where it's Sabretooth, Maverick, and Wolverine on this mission, and Wolverine pisses Sabretooth off like minutes before, and Sabretooth has been tracking him, and he finally catches up to him. It's Omega Red possessed Wolverine, but Sabretooth doesn't care. He just goes right in. He's like, starts shredding him, just ripping him apart, eating his vines. What do you call those things on his wrists?
Veins?
They're not the tentacles.
You're talking about Omega Red.
Omega Red's scaly tentacles.
Coils. They're like coils.
Yeah. Well, he just chews through those things. He bites them right off. And Omega Red's like, no, we gotta, it's not Wolverine, it's Omega Red, you gotta kill Xavier. And Sabretooth is like, he's like, what? He didn't give, he didn't care. He's just like, I'm gonna rip right through him, eat his heart, and keep it going.
Yeah. But it's introduced with the Weapon X facility, and they haven't shown this timeline before, right? This is the first time they showed it.
So it's the first time yes, you're right. I've seen that one.
So we'll call this the Weapon X facility, with the scientist having like Wolverine tied down with all the cables and tubes, and they're experimenting on him.
There were stories that we didn't read. There were things that happened where they retcon a few things to associate Wolverine with Venom.
Symbiote.
With symbiote, with Venom, with the Null, with the, like, there's all this King in Black situation, whether it was even before that. But it was,
we don't know.
You know this thing where they have to have Wolverine have a past with everybody? Like, everybody in the Marvel Universe has had a moment with Wolverine. So this was his. And it happened at some point. I didn't read it. We didn't read it. But, this Benjamin Percy is very familiar with all the details of Wolverine's life.
Right. So in this instance, of course, the Omega Red possesses the scientist and, you know, it's like, oh, I'm just going to start experimenting on you, torture you, whatever.
You're going to kill him before he even becomes, you know,
Wolverine. Before they implant the adamantium, right? Yeah.
But and it looks like at some point previously, he had been infected with the symbiote situation. And there were remains, there was still some little subatomic. He saw them in a microscope. In the microscope, he saw little venoms in his blood, in his system. And he's like,
blood cells, yeah.
So he attempted to exploit that and bring them out, thinking maybe this is how he's going to control Wolverine now. I don't.
Yeah.
Instead, he gets taken over by Omega Red, and Omega Red attempts to kill him. And that's when the symbiote takes over Logan's body, because he just kind of passed out in this vat of wires. So he inadvertently saves Wolverine's life.
Right.
Sin querer queriendo.
Yeah. And then the next timeline they show was 1945 Imperial Army Base in Japan with Lieutenant Xavier. This actually was Professor X's father. I think this was also the first time they show this timeline, right?
Is it his father or his great grandfather? I don't know.
It said father in the little insert. So, Omega Red takes over a pilot, is about to go explode one of the cargo ships. And Wolverine jumps in the scene on a plane and crashes into Omega Red, or shoots it down.
But the thing is, Omega Red had possessed Lady Death.
One of the pilots.
It wasn't just the pilot. It was Lady Deathstrike's father.
Oh,
who became a villain because he failed at a kamikaze and was burned and scarred and angered and became that's how he started his villain life, and then passed that down to his daughter. But that actually happened a different way originally, but now it's happening because Omega Red possessed him. So he still failed at his attempt at a kamikaze and still was scarred and still. That's why in the imagery they do show Lady Deathstrike.
Okay. Makes sense. And then they have a little psychic conversation between Charles and Jean P.S. which was just a little silly, I guess. Basically, Professor X is just telling Jean that all this stuff that's happening throughout time, if she can gently erase people who've been witnessing these events occurring,
yeah,
she can just make them forget. So I guess that would
people within a 1 mile radius or something,
so would that maintain the continuity of the regular timeline,
so other people won't know what's going on, their lives won't be affected, no ripples will be created if they don't.
You guys, how many times do we have to say we hate time travel? This is just messing up everything, though. How are
it isn't, it isn't. It is throwing things off, but at the same time, things still keep happening the way they're supposed to. Like the kamikaze.
So is it that question of like, oh, it actually happened the way it was supposed to and nothing changed?
It's like no matter what they're doing, they can't fight against what
fight it. Yeah. Yeah.
This guy was supposed to fail at this kamikaze, become scarred, become a villain, make his daughter a villain.
And make his daughter Lady Deathstrike.
Yeah.
Right. And then the scene you were talking about in the beginning was the Colombia one where,
yeah,
right, instead of Omega Red possessing somebody around Wolverine's vicinity, he possessed him, and Sabretooth, yeah, ripped out his heart and ate it.
Ate his coils.
Yeah.
It looked like spare ribs.
Like it does. They do make it look like spare ribs. Oh my gosh. I was like, why do they look so bony? Like, I thought they were like metal.
I don't know.
But I guess it's because it's coming out of Wolverine. Who knows?
You know, I think you're right. I think, you know what? I think you're right. Because the thing is,
yeah, because Wolverine doesn't have those coils.
No, so it would have to come out of something that's in his body.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, now I can remember what Omega Red's coils look like in 616, like regular time.
To me, they just look like metal.
That's how I remember them originally, yeah.
Almost a little bit like Doc Ock arms.
But skinny.
But yeah, definitely.
Skinny little Doc Ock.
Yes. And then the last timeline bit is the present, the current present, where Mikhail is.
He finally, they possess the current Wolverine.
Right. And then Wolverine that's on the operating table, and Jean and Professor X are
he's on a slab, like wrapped in Krakoa. He's on Krakoa on a slab with Xavier on one end, Jean on the other, and they're doing this. I don't know how long they've been at this, but they're doing this a long time. And finally they get tired of all this hopping around and trying to kill Xavier through time, and they just directly go and decide, we're just gonna kill Xavier here and now. It's done. Like,
so they're able, Mikhail and Omega Red are able, or is it Omega Red is able to directly go into Wolverine, and he pops his claws out and stabs Xavier on like the right shoulder.
Yeah. I think
I think it's
because Wolverine, his consciousness is like passed out in stasis, asleep, something, because Sabretooth just ate his heart.
Yes. So yep. He's like, So Wolverine has been expelled from his body because he's currently dead.
Yeah.
And which is in turn,
like Omega Red was able to. Consciousness is like lost in time somewhere.
Yeah. So Omega Red was able to possess his body.
Yeah.
And that was issue number 4. And right off the press, we continue on to issue number 5.
Goodness.
Jeez. But this is it, you guys. This is the final issue of 10 Lives of Wolverine.
Benjamin Percy, Josh Cassara. Doing a good job with that so far. The art is good. I really appreciate all the dynamic action, the coloring, that every kind of like timeline has its own style. So he's done a good job.
One of the artists is different than the other with the timelines. I think the one in Japan, I like that artist. But yeah, you're right. The art is fine.
So in the present, he's picks up there. He's stabbing Xavier through the chest.
And Jean is saying, we've lost him. You know, they're going through this.
You gotta find him. Where are you? Where are you? And you're just in time. So they have to like go through the past and try to find where he is so they can bring him back to his body.
Yeah.
And that's when they show Wolverine getting that watch that he has at the very beginning of the series that it apparently belonged to Xavier's dad.
Or grandfather. This one was from the 1900s. Yeah. We're back in Canada territory with the ship and a young Howlett, whatever they call him.
James.
A young Logan, whatever.
James Howlett, yeah.
Yeah. And that's in this instance is where Xavier is trying to recruit him and it's like, come back with me, son. You're, you know, you can, we can do a lot of help and together as a team. And Wolverine's like, nope, I belong to the wild, and jumps off. And he's like, wait, before you leave, take this for saving my life. And it's like a compass watch he gives him.
That was sweet. And
yeah.
Yes, and then it goes back into him finding his way back. And
yeah.
That creates some kind of like feedback and kicks Omega Red and Mikhail off of the...
purchase him out of Wolverine's system, out of the Krakoa sword. out of the Cerebro sword.
So Wolverine's himself now, even though he's just stabbed Xavier.
Oh, and did you catch that?
What, Jean like, tongued him down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this thruple is a, you know, I mean, it's pretty blatant now. If people had doubts before, they really are in a thruple.
The thing is an X-Force. It's happened already, so it's not.
Oh, it's not new? I shouldn't be as shocked as I am right now. Okay.
No, they've done the hot tub scene.
Oh! I'll calm it down. You know what? But later, can you send me those?
But now what happened? Like Omega Red and Mikhail, now they're fighting. He's like, you broke it. You messed it up. You fucked up.
Basically, Mikhail telling Omega Red, you're a failure. I shouldn't, you know, you weren't the man for the job. And Omega Red's like, but daddy, wait. No.
Like, no, it wasn't like that. They were fighting. He was like, I want to do it again. Send me back 500 years in the past. And Mikhail's like, no, I'm never playing with you again. They're like, they have the sword. And now Mikhail doesn't even care about the sword. And he's telling him that he's a failed experiment. And he's like, he's moving on. He's gone. So the thing is, like, while Omega Red had possessed Wolverine, Wolverine kind of was in his mind too. Like, they kind of swapped for a second there. So he knows where they are. So now the X-Men know where he is. Wherever his base was, if this was being kept a secret, like, now they know where to go. And so Mikhail packs up his army of Russian dolls that he's got. Those guys that, like, you know, they die and the smaller guy busts out and they just keep popping out of the previous body. So then he teleports away using his reality warping square Rubik's cube powers, and he's gone, leaving Omega Red by himself. And that's when Wolverine appears via Gateway, the mutant from the outback, aboriginal Gateway, teleports him there because there's no gates in Russia. They don't play well with Krakoa, so they don't have any portals there from Krakoan portals to transport them there.
Then there's this montage as the fight ensues between Omega Red and Wolverine. All the fighting, all through time, with these Wolverine and Omega Reds.
All the clashing, memories, fighting. All the versions that they've had. Like, he's like carrying all this anger from all these versions of himself and Omega Red fighting the whale. He fought the whale. He fought the moms. He fought every... When he fought Dokken's mom. Like, all the memories of every altercation they had. Like, so now it's like he's getting amped and he's like super angry and he's worked up because he's been fighting this guy for hundreds of years now and it's all like coming out.
Yeah. But I thought this part was kind of silly. Omega Red just grabs a tree trunk and just slams it on Wolverine.
Yeah. He could do that. He got tentacles.
It's true. It's true.
And then after that, just stabs him in the neck with the sword. Stabs him in the neck with the Cerebro sword. And it just stays there. Because as soon as he stabs him, Wolverine stabs him back. Right through his time teleporting hole that he's got in his chest. That glowing space. And then shoves his other arm in there and splits him in half. And that's that.
Oof.
It's done. That fight is done. He's got the sword. Omega Red is done. He's ready to go home.
And this was like, I was telling you earlier, this seems like this whole series is just a love poem to Wolverine. Because it ends with the only thing you control is the ending. You know, it was like a very poetic ending to this.
Yeah, or so he thought, because just when he's about to take a nap,
he's like, I'm done. He delivers the Cerebro sword to Sage, and he's like, I'm so tired. I'm just going to take a long nap. She's like, uh-uh. You ain't done yet, mister. You got another.
Her co's under attack.
Yeah. By the last page. The last page, they showed Tech Vereen with all the other Wolverines and Moira in her, which I guess is what we're going to talk about next. And that's that.
Oh, my goodness. It's over. That's it. Oh,
thank goodness.
More 10 lives.
Thank goodness.
It was. So the time travel thing, in case you guys didn't pick it up by listening to us, it's complicated. Like, it really, yeah, if you, I suppose if you read it all at one go, if you don't do this weekly situation, it's fine. Maybe, because maybe it'll be easier to track. But things get complicated. Things, the way that they tell the stories, it's not in chronological order, but ultimately they do make sense. So Benjamin Percy does do that, where things do ultimately work out. They're cozy.
Honestly, I just don't care about Wolverine. Let's just be real.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Like, if this was any other character, maybe. But I guess Wolverine is the only one that can do this time-traveling thing, which is what they did for Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah.
They send him back.
Yeah. It was originally Kitty. But...
Yeah. But who's Kitty? Just kidding.
Were you trying to say Kate Pryde? It was just trying to be apologizing.
No, I'm saying, like, she's not very popular, is like what
Mariah
I was trying
Carey,
to say.
You don't know her.
Yeah. Yes, that. More that than anything.
However, this death of Wolverine should have just been called Moira, because
absolutely. Why didn't they?
I guess it all like lives.
Wolverine sells books.
On. It was like, also they can I guess surprise you, because they have all these hidden covers when they do the promos for this stuff. They show you all the variants, and there's always a cover that's like,
oh, hidden. I can't even see those.
Yeah, there you can choose which cover you want to buy depending on who, what artist you're a fan of, or what character it spotlights. And some of the covers are completely blank, so you can you'd have to guess, or you don't know. And those covers usually feature Moira.
I see. On to 10 Deaths of Wolverine, number 4.
The writer, Benjamin Percy, who has been writing the whole series, and X-Force and Wolverine. So he's like, this is all the culmination of everything he's been working on for since the whole Dawn of X situation. Federico Vicentini, another like really awesome dynamic artist. Like, I really appreciate everything he's done in this.
I believe he was the one drawing one of the timelines in the other book, which is why I recognize it.
And DJ Lima is doing the colors. They put their all into it. It's really, you can see the effort in the art, and they really try to deliver on the story too. But again, like depends on the level of your love of Wolverine.
But this book really should have been called Moira.
It was, you know, it's, again, it's time travel, and now the time travel has caught up to this book. So it's convoluted. It's tricky. So you've got Moira, Moira's on Krakoa, and she gets there by having a conversation where she calls up Banshee, and she's like, hey, I need some help. You got to help me. I need to get to Krakoa. And he's like, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, I shouldn't really get you on there. She's like, oh, okay, sorry. And then she just kills him. I mean, you don't see any of this happening. It's just a conversation. And next thing you know, you think you're seeing Banshee walk through a portal, but it's Moira. She's killed her friend of many years, lover sometimes. She's killed him, and she's wearing his skin to get him through a Capricorn gate.
Hardcore. Moira ain't playing games, y'all.
Wow.
Savage. Savage.
I mean, she's done so many things already. Just like this CIA training, all these lives she's had. Like, who knew she had this like insane violent streak in her?
Definitely became the villain now.
Yeah, and that's another like.
Well, but they marked her the villain, so she's like, "Oh, all right, yeah, you think I'm bad?" She's like, "Yeah, I ain't seen nothing yet." She's like, "Fuck Krakoa, fuck your lives. I'm gonna fucking bring it all down."
But it's funny how it starts off with like, you know, it's Destiny versus Moira, and you think that Destiny's this horrible person. She burned her alive, and of course, Moira's now gonna keep all these precogs away because Moira wanted the precogs away so they couldn't see what she was doing, because her plan all along was like to eliminate the mutant gene. And like, what else did Destiny see? Like, what else did Destiny know? Did she see this whole Phalanx Moira happening? Did she see all this? Who knows how far she saw into it? Because Destiny's powers are tricky. It really depends on what timeline she's in and how many she can see at one time. But yeah, this is what she was trying to avoid. This is why she was keeping the precogs away. And it's just like, now it's super obvious. And I was like, wow, she had me fooled.
Question, like, is Destiny able to, is she like constantly seeing all the timelines all the time? Like,
it really depends on who's around her. Because remember when Doug showed up in another issue, he confused her. She's like, I'm blank. I'm not seeing
it. It was because Doug hadn't made a decision yet on what he was going to do.
Right.
So she couldn't. It was too many possibilities yet until he decided what he was going to do.
So it's really, it's a tricky thing.
Yeah. The scene starts out with the near future in the armory. We had got Wolverine and Forge. This part was...
again, time travel. This is happening somewhere along Powers of 10. This is happening during Powers of 10. Right before Wolverine becomes the last male
living mutant.
Yes.
Like the scene out of Game of Thrones where the Mountain and Oberyn are fighting. Stop. Fucking Forge squishes out Wolverine's eyeball and sticks a seed in his eye socket.
Have you ever had a seed in your eye, Gabriel?
You know what?
It burns!
Yeah, just like that, you guys.
He had to, well, because he could grow, I guess he could just grow his eyeball back and nobody would know that he's hiding a seed back there.
Yeah.
A time traveling seed.
And then in that instant, the Sentinels attack and what we assume kills Forge.
Yeah. And that Wolverine gets into the preserve where they keep him and Moira alive for many years.
And that's the next scene, actually, the preserve.
Yeah.
Where she's about to like murder his ass.
But the thing is, like, he was the one in that timeline when we first exposed to that timeline.
They were both surviving.
They were both surviving, and they needed a puzzle. Like, they were trying to like figure something out. They're trying to figure out what was gonna happen. As soon as they knew what they needed to know, then he killed Moira so she can start life on the whole planet all over again, which is what they were trying to avoid in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's back. It's like, how long did this Wolverine go without seeing Moira? It's like, he just killed her. He just sent her back in time. And now she's back.
That's the confusing part. If that timeline rebooted itself, then we're in this, what is this? Her 10th life? Ninth life.
This is her 10th life.
Moira?
In her ninth life, he killed her. And then...
Then this means that in this current life, it's a similar thing happening, but that other timeline where he kills her
doesn't exist
anymore. This is like another version of that. Yeah. But you guys, we hate time travel. Oh my gosh, it is a little confusing because it's almost a similar thing. But you're right, I don't see the biodomes, or they're not like, I don't know, in captivity. Like they were.
That's where
in a zoo or something.
Yeah, that they're in this preserve, and that's where he is. And that's, she goes in, now she decides she's killing the last mutant alive. She's going to do this. But what she did know, he had a seed in his eye. So she infects him, because she at this point is infected with the Phalanx. She's got this, like, you know, that whole Doug Locke, Warlock kind of circuitry all over her body. And she stabs him, she blasts him, and he's infected now also. They show that as soon as, you know.
But, you know, he pops out his claw to stab his eye, and it has that phalanx design.
Because she already, at that point, she shot him already. She's infected him.
Oh, see, something's not a little clear to me. So that seed in that eyeball,
so she
cocoons him, it shields him, it sends him back in time. And that's how
she is phalanx. Like, they show her whole body is covered in that stuff. She's phalanx at that point. She stabs him, she infects him. He, before the infection continues to take over his body, he pulls a seed out of his eye, and he comes now into the present. Wolverine cocoons himself in time traveling leaves, and now he's on Krakoa.
Yeah, that's the backstory. That's how he ended up in our timeline, our present.
Yeah, in the present.
So the next scene, they go, all the Wolverines, they're like, you know, Tech Vereen is telling them, oh, this is the future, we gotta stop this. So they find Arnab in his lab, and they're questioning him, like, where's Moira? And he's like, I don't know anything. She just left. But they finally get an answer, and they, you know, after some heavy questioning or torture techniques, well, they don't really do much. He spills the beans that Moira is on her way back to Krakoa. And then that's what they're all going to. And then as a parting gift for our poor Arnab, Wolverine sticks a claw up his nostril, and I'm assuming leaves him brain dead. Oh, Ray, should we take him in and take care of him?
I don't know, dude. That might need some help with that. He needs a facility. But he's got the money. So, yes, we'll take him in.
We could hire people to take care of
him. With his own money, yes.
Yeah. And then that, what you described earlier, was the whole Banshee thing. And then we go, this whole thing of destiny, right? She's in the hatchery, which I'm assuming she's, I guess it hasn't happened yet. Oh no, they show a Mystique body in the panel. Yeah. So is she able to resurrect her, or is she still growing? I don't know.
I guess she's still working on that.
So is Destiny like seeing like what's happening with Moira now?
Well, Destiny's already told them what's happening with Moira, because they're kind of expecting her.
Yeah. So we shift back to the armory. That's Forge's lab, I'm assuming. And Moira teleports in, grabs the mutant canceling gun, and she's like, I'm gonna fuck shit up. So she takes the gun. Then Xavier has an astral projection trying to talk to her, and
he's like, Moira, be careful. You don't want to do this. We can do this a whole nother way. You're not backed up. We can't bring you back. You never registered as a mutant. Like, it's not going to work, but I can give you Krakoa medicine. We can give you something that's going to extend your life, maybe help you with this cancer. Like, we'll fix things, or we'll try. And she's just like, she's not taking it. She's not dealing with it. She's not doing it. But while he's talking to her.
Fuck you guys.
While he's talking to her, Forge is like, gotcha. And he like tries to sneak up on her. And he's like, we knew you were coming because of her. Destiny told us everything.
And she fucking blasts him with the gun. So he loses his mutant powers.
Forge has no powers at the moment.
And then Destiny arrives. But then Moira puts on this Krakoan bug suit.
It's the armor. I mean, she's where he just had, that's his lab. They're all around because he designed a bunch of them.
Right. So Moira puts on the suit, grabs Destiny. She's about to squish her to death. And then Tech Vereen comes out of the portal now, stabs Moira.
Infects her with the techno-organic virus. So is that the Moira that kills him in the future?
Yeah. That's how that happened. And then she shoots him with the anti-mutant gun. So Wolverine is...
His healing factor was the only thing keeping this virus.
The phalanx at bay, and now he can't. And that's the last panel, y'all. Wow. Why do I feel this comic so short compared to lives of Wolverine.
There's less timelines to think about. There is a little bit of time travel in this one, just because of like the whole
but I'm saying, like, wouldn't you think the other one would seem shorter than because of so many timelines that they introduced?
It's too many timelines. It's a lot of, there's a lot going on. They wanted to introduce you to 10 timelines and they skipped some because in the data page, they described two of them. So okay. You didn't get exactly all the 10 lines, but there's a little grid at the end and it was the.
Do you think I read that? Sorry, yeah. Maybe I should.
Maybe. I mean, we've come to that conclusion. There's been a lot of, you've missed a lot of info,
a lot. That's why I'm confused most of the time. Okay, sure. But yeah, one more issue of this and we'll see how it all wraps up. I'm really interested. What will happen to Moira X?
Oh my goodness, Moira. I feel like Tyra Banks. I was rooting for you, Moira. We were all rooting for you. Look at what she got done. Now she's enemy number one. Oof.
Yeah, man. Flipped the script. She was like, well, she was secret, but kind of like.
I mean, I could understand her being upset. I mean, they put the T that gave her the elbow thing. They gave her, they were tracking her. Then they kept her a secret. And then they tossed her. But the thing is, like, what she wanted, it just couldn't happen. They weren't going to accept her deciding to just eliminate the mutant gene anyway. Like, she lived all these lives and decided that ultimately the only thing she could do is go back to her idea that she had in her third life or whatever.
And curing the mutant gene.
Curing the mutant, which is the reason Destiny killed her in the first place.
Yeah.
But after everything she did, after the apocalypse, after
Magneto,
after Xavier, after
Nimrod
and the CIA and all her other lives, she just came to in her 10th life, she decided that she's just gonna end mutants, period.
Yeah. And now the last book, switching gears to Sabretooth number 2.
Wow. Victor Laval is doing really good work with him, because Sabretooth is always just like this savage. This is animal who just doesn't have any thoughts or emotions or feelings. There's never been really a character of depth. He's just the mean, angry, nasty mutant. And he's really, I think he's writing it well. He's giving Sabretooth some dimension. And considering where he's at, and he can't really act out because he's in the pit. He's making his brain work. So yeah. they finally have those five mutants who appeared in the last issue. We just like all of a sudden joined Sabretooth in hell.
But interestingly here in the opening page, they all have like a number above their head. Yes. Which Krakoan law did they break? Yes. Do you know the order of these
Krakoan laws? So the first law is the first
thou shall not kill.
No, the first law is make more mutants.
Interesting. So the only one who broke that law is Third Eye.
Third Eye did something to prevent there from being more mutants somehow. Then law two is kill no man,
That was Necra and Oya. Who did Oya kill?
I don't know, but I think it has something to do with Necra, because Xavier was like, you know, you went and you did this thing and you took her with you, and then Oya was like, I make my own decisions. So they haven't really gotten the details on who or how they who got killed. Or I'm not sure. But then Madison Jeffries and Burner.
Melter.
They broke the third law, which was respect this land.
Hmm. And all Melter was doing was just practicing by, you know, breaking some rocks. Boulder. Krakoa, calm down.
Boulders and fucking Krakaran.
Listen, they were pebbles or something. Like, listen.
It was boulders. He said he was trying to avoid the plants, but he didn't know that Krakoa was in the boulder. It's like he didn't know he was hurting Krakoa.
How is he supposed to train? Listen, I thought that was a little silly, but
a little silly.
Also, Xavier doesn't know there's a hell going on right now. He just thinks they're just taking a nap or something, right?
Yeah, he doesn't know that Sabretooth's consciousness has now taken over this pit And anybody who goes in it falls into Sabretooth's brain somehow. Mm.
That's exactly what Third Eye figures out. That they're like, actually, it's an illusion what they're experiencing. And in reality, they're just hanging by some vines, just laying. And this whole thing is being created by Sabretooth. And that's what Third Eye is trying to tell them and let them know, like, this isn't real. This is just...
Yeah, because they're all running away from Sabretooth right now. He's, like, chasing them, trying to kill them, and they're fighting back, and they're using the whatever mutant abilities they can to fight him, and none of it was necessary because none of it was really happening.
Mm-hmm. And then Third Eye also reaches out, goes in, like, astral form or ghost form. Which is it?
Astral projection, I'll say.
An astral projection, and appears to... Mole,
who was a Morlock.
He was a Morlock.
Who was
the one who escaped the massacre that Sabretooth?
He's the one who got away because of his powers,
mm-hmm.
which is like to dig. He has the ability to like psionically dig. I guess not necessarily use his arms or anything, just dig, just his body go through objects and not just go through the objects, but also seal it right back up after him so he can't be chased. So he manages to escape the mutant massacre. And he's got the survivor trauma, guilt, and fear going on from his experience in the massacre, especially with Sabretooth. Sabretooth was the one who really, I don't know,
traumatized him. I mean, that's PTSD right there.
Absolutely.
What was he trying to do? Talk to all these mutants on the island. Well, He was trying to tell them, ignored.
He was trying to tell them what was going on, but nobody paid him any mind. And this is happening also before X of Swords or Swords of what was the name of the what was before Swords?
Yeah, X of Swords.
Before X of Swords, because Apocalypse is still walking around in his robes.
So yeah,
this story takes place quite a while ago, and how that's relevant. I mean, we'll see, because so much has happened since then.
Right. I mean, we had the Gala. We had the Arako planet created.
There was a lot since this one. And that's... What does that mean? Like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But this takes place in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody listens to him. Apocalypse, Storm...
Oh, I feel bad for him.
Nobody pays attention to Mole.
No.
So then, now that they know where they are, now that they are no longer in Sabretooth's hell, because now they're under a united plane. Now they're in a shared mental space. They decide that it's going to look like a prison. Like this is how they feel they're being treated. They are in a prison. And they even construct wardens that look like Xavier and Magneto watching over them. And that's when they start talking about how they got there. And that's how you find out that Melter was punished for
blasting boulders.
Yeah, because he pissed off Prekaren.
I see what you did there.
And that, which is really sad. It's like, how are you going to shove somebody in a hole because he broke a rock? And I get it. He hurt. Couldn't you just apologize to her?
Couldn't they let Melter know, like, hey, you know, you're actually hurting Krakoa. Can you practice in the whatever? Do they have some type of danger room setup? Hologram thing?
I mean, they have that space where they fight. What's that called?
The Crucible?
Yeah.
Maybe. But that's to kill.
But that doesn't, they're not really using it anymore because now they have the heaven that Wanda created.
True.
So you can go practice there. But whatever. This is way before that. This is
right.
Again, this has happened Swords
in
of
the past.
Yeah. It's still, I guess there is still the Crucible going on there. There's like But it's an interesting story. Like, we're being silly, but it's really, I'm really curious to see where this goes.
So in the end, they all decide to form like a superhero team. They're going to bring the fight topside and come to, I'm assuming, to the council, right?
I don't know how, because I mean they're all their bodies
trapped down, yeah,
or in stasis. They're just tied up to vines, just hovering in the pit. How they're gonna escape their minds? I don't know.
We'll see. Wasn't Oya the only one that her powers were still working? Or was that just in the illusion?
That was in the illusion.
Okay. Yeah.
Because Madison Jeffrey's powers have more to do with technology.
And so we have three more issues left of this. A ver qué pasa.
I'm curious. I'm definitely. Yeah. No, I want to know where the pit is. Like he was saying in the very first issue, he's like, "Is it Krakoa's butt? Like, where are they?"
Hopefully, we get that answered. I want to know too. But that first issue was so groundbreaking to just like give this depth to Sabretooth. Yes, yeah. It was. I was not expecting that.
No, it's a really good series.
Whew. Well, we're done, y'all.
That was fun.
Yeah. So we'll see till next week.
Next week,
wrap the Moira story.
Moira story up and see where it goes.
Yeah.
Because then it's Destiny of X, and then it's a whole another thing coming up.
Yeah. So brace yourselves.
All right, guys. Next week.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.